So this week we begin a series on the Lord's Prayer. You just heard a version of the Lord's Prayer offered from the Gospel of Luke. Did it sound a little different from what we normally use? Right. So it's interesting. There is language that has been taught to us. I remember being in Vacation Bible School. Yay, Vacation Bible School. Remember being in Vacation Bible School and being taught this is how you pray the Lord's Prayer. And how wonderful that was. Oh, it's very bright now. I look better in the light anyway, so that's good. I was taught this is how you say the Lord's Prayer. And then later on when I was studying the scriptures, let me find my glasses. When I was studying the scriptures, I encountered this little version that we just heard from Faye. Thank you so much for reading it so well. Shorter version of it. It's just as valid. It's words from Jesus. It's interesting how sometimes what we expect or what we have been habituated to, what we've heard over and over and over again, that can kind of like form a rut. You know, it's good words. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Good, important things to know. But at the same time, there is a problem that happens in that you get so accustomed to it, you forget what it's actually saying. Right? Like, have you ever thought, like, you know, at a ball game or at a school function about the national anthem or, the Pledge of Allegiance? Man, when I was in school, I could plow right through the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, no problem. When we come to the Apostles' Creed, same kind of thing. And most certainly, those words that were given to me when I was a little kid in Vacation Bible School about what our Lord asks us to pray can be plowed right through without much consideration of what is actually being said there. I had a youth group in my ministry years ago when dinosaurs roamed the earth, right? That we were dealing with that very issue. And so one night I said, all right, we're going to have a race. And so we raced through who could say the Lord's Prayer the fastest. Yeah. Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, thy will be done. Blah, 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 blah. Right. Meaning what? I mean, the words were there. They were being said. What is being said? Okay. Years ago, I was a teenager. Actually, I was in elementary school when this happened, and I ran into a poem that I loved. I had to use it for some other function inside of my school life, but it's words from Longfellow, and I memorized those words. Tell me not, in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream for the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real. Life is earnest. The grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returneth. We're not spoken of the soul. I memorized it in elementary school, had no idea what it meant. Really, literally. I liked the way that the words worked together. I liked some of the words inside there. I memorized it. This is not like, oh, Bert's so cool, he remembers poetry from elementary school. It's just it worked for me at the time. But it was not until later, much, much later, I was in seminary, that came back to me. I'm like, oh, that's what that means. Ah, I get that. So when we encounter the Lord's Prayer in even a different version, it gives us an opportunity to stop and say, what does this mean? What am I really spending time offering to the Lord? It's good that the Lord hears this. It's wonderful that Jesus gave us these words. But what is this to me? What is this to my community, to my world, our Father who art in heaven. Or in this case, Father. So these next few weeks, we'll be doing the Luke version of the Lord's Prayer. And actually, as we come to the prayers for our communion, where we typically would use our well-known Lord's Prayer, we will use that as well. So know that that is coming later on in the service as we work together. It's the tailor's version. Some of you got that maybe, you know, it's like it is still legit, but not exactly what we're familiar with. Okay? Got me? Good? Now, so today we're going to start, obviously, appropriately, what good timing, we'll start with Father. Now, in the translation that we just heard, we didn't hear our Father. We just heard straight out, Father. And it is an important way in which Jesus is saying something really important about his Father and our God. When you pray, when you talk to God, say this, he says. And he starts, Father. Both versions use that word. Now, the idea of Father in the Old Testament is really a big deal. And it's culturally still a very big deal. Although the way that folks in the Old Testament understanding of that culturally and circumstantially due to the historical where they find themselves, you know, there's a lot being loaded on there. But in most fundamentally, the idea of Father inside of the communities that would have heard this word would have understood that Father was essentially the linchpin of the family unit, the linchpin of the basic social structure in which they were organized around. Now, that is not to say that all fathers are perfect. Amen? But the way that they culturally understood it, it's like, okay, well, Dad is the head of the household. You know that language? And there were certain jobs that fathers had. For one, he had to arrange the marriages with the cousins next door. Okay? So a little bit different than what we're experiencing as fatherhood. But for listeners, for hearers of Jesus, that word would have been like, God is Father? Okay, well, we've heard that in the Old Testament, but that means that he is functioning in really important and particular ways, kind of as the linchpin that holds the whole thing together. Now, we all know that mothers are the true linchpin. Can I get an amen? Yeah. My girl said, oh, yeah. But conceptually, this is important. And there is a lot of work that goes into understanding who Father is. And so when Jesus is pulling that up, he's pulling up the file for all those people to do that. In the Bible, God is the Father of believers who love. In Matthew, Jesus is going to talk about that. Believers who love and forgiveness. God is the Father of people who forgive and who models the way of love they owe each other. He is the Father, most uniquely, of Jesus, right? Isn't that what we say? And what Jesus will do is say, and he is the Father of you. He, at one point, will use a very intimate term about Father. He will say, Abba. And he does that in a way that people can overhear, his disciples overhear him say that in prayer. Abba, Daddy. So Jesus, in his instruction, in his telling us, this is how you pray. You begin with a particular relationship with God. Now, I totally get that, and I love that. But I also know that this is hard in some ways, because some of our relationships with our Father can be, well, hard. Some of us are celebrating Father's Day with fond memories. Some of us are longing for fathers that are not with us anymore. Some of us are longing for fathers that never actually showed up, that imposed such will because they were the father. Don't mess with your father this way. That when we come back to use father language about God, it gets really messy. Sometimes our use of the idea of father gets so convoluted and so mixed up with the brokenness that we have around father that it creates a barrier. It can be huge. One of my beloved teachers, Roberta Bondi, spent a great deal of a book kind of dealing with the idea that her father was hard, and that when she would try to pray our Father, it brought so much that did not seem to be of God, that she knew better of who God is and was and will be. So I have to acknowledge that. I really cannot stand here and celebrate fatherhood and this particular phrase inside this very important prayer without acknowledging that there's a shadow side, there's a mess, there's a, you know, some baggage. It's more than that. That's here with us. Now remember, and we've talked about metaphorical and allegorical language a lot. Sorry, that's me. I talk about that a lot. We have, some of you are laughing, you got that. So remember that he is using the idea of father, but is God literally, biologically, anyone's father aside from Jesus, right? So there is a leap here that is being done metaphorically and allegorically. There is, you know, God is like a father. And, you know, actually God is like a really, really good father who gets it right. Some of the words that you used in the call to worship spoke right through that. But also, there are fathers. Okay, so God is like a father, but the metaphor breaks down, and we have that. Now, how Jesus deals with this, and what I think is really helpful to us, is in a time when Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's talking about what he's going to do and where he's going to go, and Philip, I think it's Philip, that comes back to him and says, "We can't get there. We don't know that. How do we get there? How do we understand this? What do you mean by that?" And Jesus looks at him and says, "You big dummy." No, that would be Fred Sanford. That's a bad reference. Sorry. But what he does is he says, "I've been with you all of this time, and you still don't get it. Please get it. If you have seen me, if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. If you have seen Jesus, if you look at the character, the nature, the life, the ministry, the work, the love, the loving character of Jesus, then you have seen the manifestation, the presence, the face of the Father." So if we're struggling with this, as we are kind of making sense of, "Dad was good, but Dad hit me too hard," or "Dad was working his way through a really hard time in his life and he wasn't there and he put his needs in the center," you know, I get that. That's hard. It's wrong. It hurts. But please let us come back to what is really intended by that Father, which is, look at Jesus. and what he has, where he leads, and how we are to follow. By the way, this is a hard road, because he's going to ask you to love in ways that are hard. He's going to ask you to minister and care for people in ways that you might find to be overwhelming. You want me to what, Jesus? Nevertheless, we start with that fatherly love that leads the way. My family is buying me a grill for Father's Day. I have been without a grill. Oh, yeah, applaud that, because that's good. So, it's coming, and I'm excited. I haven't grilled in a year, and I'm a little kind of like, you know. And so, I will be, ladies, if you would gather some spice for me for the grill, that would be great. But as I grill, and as you, perhaps, labor over something that you love, maybe it is a good time to think of how Jesus might be a father for you. How Jesus might be a father to the rest of us. So grill well, love well, and keep praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.